Welcome to Unreal Bluegrass. I'm Steve Martin. My guest today, Chris Henry. If you remember back January of 2020, we talked to Red Henry, his father. And Red, fascinating fellow. This album Chris just put out, the name of the album is When Mama Sang to Me. His mother, Red's wife, and also the mother of Casey Henry, very bluegrass, very musical family. Chris Henry spent a lot of time put this album together, and there's some great guests on it. And we're going to start this part of the program off with I Ain't Domesticated Yet by Rhonda Vincent, which I played several times. And it's the one that Chris and I thought should start off this part of the program. So from When My Mama Sang to Me, I Ain't Domesticated Yet, brought to life by Rhonda Vincent. And we're going to have a nice chat with Chris Henry. Thanks so much for tuning in. To the audience of Unreal Bluegrass, you just heard a favorite cut of mine and also of my guest today. You heard I Ain't Domesticated Yet, sung by Rhonda Vincent. It's on a brand new album from Chris Henry. The name of the album is When My Mama Sang to Me, Songs of Murphy Hicks Henry. And I'm talking to Chris Henry right now. How are you, Chris?
Doing great. Happy to be with you here. And stoked to talk about this album, the birthday album.
The birthday album. Yeah, your mother turned 70, it says. So you put all this together. There's 23 cuts on it. And I'll just tell the listener, there you heard Rhonda Vincent, who's always great to put on an album and let her bust out the very first song that I Ain't Domesticated Yet. But you have so many, and it's so great that you did this. There's so many people listed on this album. And I think you've tried to make sure you've got women involved, either in the playing or the singing or both, on all 23 cuts. And for the very last one, that your mother's singing, the last cut on it, but... this is a heck of a project, Chris. You got a lot of effort into this and brought in some really top-flight musicians and singers. I'm just a fan of all of them.
I appreciate that a lot, Steve. It's total labor of love, and I was just trying to think something special to do for Mom's 70th birthday. And, she's always been my favorite songwriter. So many of these songs are songs that I grew up listened to that made me fall in love with bluegrass and music and banjo picking and singing and harmony singing and fast tempos and, three-quarter time and all of that. And, Mom and Dad were on an independent label, R&M, in the late 70s, early 80s, and they sold a bunch of records, but they never, maybe made a huge impression on the national landscape with their albums. And so there's a whole, new generation of folks that haven't heard these great songs. I just think are some of the best songs. And I thought, what better way to honor her music and her songs than to round up, 25 of the most talented women all across the country.
They really are. You really hit the mother load. No pun intended. I just
nice.
It's not the mother load, but you really did pull in some. Boy, they're just all top flight. And you can tell they want to put their best into it, too, for the reason that you're putting the whole thing together.
It was really sweet. And everyone was just, really enthusiastic about it. And, through the magic of modern technology, you can coordinate this kind of stuff. And so I was going to coordinate with local studios around the country. Some of the women have their own, recording rigs, which makes it, so much easier. And then I went to Nashville and did some recording and went up to Virginia, did some recording, went out to, a few different trips to go to where the women were. And so I was working on it for 2 or 3 months, and it was a real fun thing happening because Mom didn't know about it, and we were all keeping it a big surprise. So, her sisters were involved, three of her sisters were involved, my dad was involved, my sister's always, so all these women were involved, but just keeping it a secret. And so it was growing, and it was, becoming more and more fantastic with every, vocal track that I was getting in to put in there. We tried to keep the arrangements fairly similar, and the keys and the tempos and stuff like that. My sister was advising me a lot on matching up the songs with the different singers. She had a lot of really great ideas about who should be singing what, and that was a big thing.
And your sister's Casey, fine musician, banjo player. I've seen her many times. I was a big fan. When you mentioned the peculiarities of maybe a bluegrass being a regional sometimes, but I'm not in your region, but I'm not I'm not in California, let's put it that way, but I certainly knew of all the music that was coming out of your family and with your mother and your father and the whole band. I was very aware of it. And before I forget, Chris, we'll talk more about the album because we're going to. But the Murphy Method, I think, is a legend, is a legendary educational tool.
Absolutely. I don't think that there's any other company that has really taught more people to play, you know, banjo especially, than the Murphy Method. And, you know, they got started doing that with audio cassettes in the early 80s. Mom found it. And she's a great teacher in general, but she found when she started teaching folks to play by ear without paper, without tab, notation, all that kind of stuff, it sounded more musical.
Yeah.
And of course, that's, you know, a lot to her credit. She's a great teacher, but they started doing that in the early 80s. And so many, you know, wonderful takers in the industry have gotten started that way. And, yeah, like, you know, Gina Furtado, who was nominated for Banjo Player of the Year a couple of years, yep. You know, started with the Murphy Method. And the fellas playing banjo with Ralph, too, Landon, he's got started with the Murphy Method. Caleb, he's played with the Rarely Heard.
Mm.
Bunch of different people. Lizzie Long, you know, Lil Roy Lewis got Lizzie Long the beginning tapes and got her started, got her rolling, no pun intended. But yeah.
And Lizzie's on this album, too. That's, when you mention that name, but yeah, I might talk about her a little bit. I really get a kick out of the riding around on Saturday night with Lizzie. But yeah, so the Method is very, very popular way of doing it. Of course, then we all had cassettes, and then they all decayed over time. But then we all got CDs, and now you can still buy those things. They're still available. I looked at the website, and there's more than banjo. There's different there's different musicians, and just real good quality educational for getting started. I went through the Earl Scruggs book was all, what I had available way back, the very first one, and that was my beginning. But I think just get started, and I think if you want to get started, I think the Murphy Method is a great way to get into it. If you're playing banjo, I don't know about the other things, but to me, from what I've seen, it's just a wonderful educational tool.
Yeah, full line of you know, all the bluegrass instruments, and you can preview, you know, the first, you know, if you want to get into the banjo, you can go to the murphymethod.com website and check out the new beginning banjo and see how the teaching works with banjo in the hollow, like the first parts taught on there. But yeah, just a wonderful legacy of passing the music on, so people can, you know, share in the joy and the fun of the music. And there's audio cassettes and then VHS and Napster that makes it really accessible for anybody.
Oh yeah.
In the world.
Yeah. Have things been put on YouTube yet for that? Or
yeah.
Okay.
There is a lot on YouTube. My sister handles a lot of that.
Okay. All right.
She's got her own, slew of hundreds of banjo video, instructional videos, and a lot of those previews are on YouTube.
Yeah,
and a lot of Murphy stuff, too. Yeah, I encourage anyone to check out the Murphy Method if they're interested in learning to play the music or have struggled learning different other ways.
Yeah, I would say both of those, and because it's kind of at your own pace. I mean, there are certain things you'll get hung up on, but if you just kind of can go slowly, and I think the approach that the Murphy Method is just one that's more welcoming, and you don't have to go from 5 miles an hour to 100 miles an hour in the next chapter. It just sort of takes you progressively through it. Yeah,
that's the one up the mountain.
Yeah, by the way, I was at Raleigh at IBMA a couple of years ago, and your mother won an award, and I should have looked it up before I called you. I forgot, but she won a Lifetime Achievement Award, I think. Is that true?
That's right. Yeah. That is absolutely right. That was the year after her book, Pretty Good for a Girl.
That's right. Pretty Good for a Girl.
The history of Women in Bluegrass came out. So that, in combination with her, Women in Bluegrass newsletter, and really championing a lot of the efforts to get more women included on the IBMA Awards, and just raising awareness in general about, you know, gender equality and, you know, what for so long was thought about as a man's music. Now, women don't have that problem. You know, the whole world has changed, but in each, you know, pocket of the culture and different industries have been, you know, wonderfully powerful, determined women persevering through a lot to pave the road for an easier ride for the younger musicians. And so she was honored for the teaching and her, you know, activism there.
And it was a great speech. I was there, and she deserves, and she's one of those people that they build the foundation on. And I don't mean by a building or an organization, but the foundational for for women in bluegrass, women in music. So much of it begins with her, and that's why this album. I was actually surprised when I got that she was turning 70. Of course, I never think of myself as getting older either, but I just don't think of that as happening. But it's a great concept. What Chris was saying, by the way, I told you off the air. The listening audience of Unreal Bluegrass will remember well when I had Red Henry on.
Yeah,
and we talked about an album that you it's called Flying High on Bluegrass that you did.
And, yeah.
So I had a nice chat with him about not just the music, but flying and astronomy and ancient texts, all kinds of everything. Everything you want to talk to about Red, we tried to cover it all because I had known him before. I knew of him, and I thought that album will be a good opportunity to get to talk to Red and get to know a little more about him. So I enjoyed it a lot. So
I love that.
Yeah.
Hear that sometimes.
It's the interview, Chris, every interview that I do, I don't keep the whole shows because they take up too much space on the website, but every interview that I do is on Unreal Bluegrass website. And it's if you just look Unreal Bluegrass, it's alphabetical, just go right to the thing, it'll drop down to him, and there's like 500 or something. But I keep them all just because I'm interested in them, and it was fun. I had a good time. I enjoyed talking with them. I enjoy talking to you now.
Well, I appreciate you including the Henrys in your Unreal.
Yeah. Thank you. And you'll be in there too when we're done. There's a great picture on the front of the when my mama sang to me songs of Murphy Hicks Henry, and I'm going to guess that's you.
Yeah, that's me when I was about 3 years old with a ukulele, and I was playing it left-handed. You know,
I was wondering if the image was reversed, but then I thought, well, no, that would put her hands out of place too. So you're playing left-handed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're sitting on a couch, and Mom's got her guitar, and got our heads together, and that just really encapsulates my fond memories of Mama and of music and of singing and songs when I was little. That just has been such a treasured foundation for what I felt like. I mean, I thought that just, life was just, one big jam session for a number of years. And it's because there's always so much music going on in the house and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, sweet picture. It's not my favorite picture. I love that.
It's great. There's a good one on the back, too, of the family. I tell you, you mentioned a thing there about you just grew up that way. Ronnie Stoneman always said she just assumed that everybody came home and played music all day and went back to school and came home and played. She had no idea. She had no idea that this was not the normal course of things.
Yeah, right. Of course, when you find out, that can be an interesting bit of a shock to adjust to.
That's true.
But yeah, so much music happening in the family. And yeah, that picture on the back was the very first time that my sister and I had gotten up and played or sung with Mom and Dad.
Yeah, you're singing with them, yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
You were looking right in the camera, too, bud. You know where to look. That's what they always say.
I lucked out on that.
Know where to look. Inside this... it folds out and folds out and folds out. You've done a great job, Chris, of making sure that everybody got credited on every cut, wherever they showed up. Everything is indexed so well, and I really appreciate that because I love liner notes, and this is almost a throwback to when liner notes could be found in albums, final albums. So you can go through the inside of this and all 23 songs you have, who's singing them, who's performing them. And then you have a breakdown of who's lending their talents to each one. They may not be the major talent, but they're contributing. And then there's you even have other guests. You mentioned some of the people that additional engineering by, and you have everybody listed here, which I think is such a great thing because everybody up and down the line needs credit. When you put together an effort like this to honor your mother, and all these people volunteer or not volunteer, but they're available. Maybe they volunteer, but it's nice that you went out of your way to give them all credit for their participation.
Well, I appreciate that. That was really important for me because they all, they had their work cut out for them to study the tunes and to get in league with Mom and her energy on these songs and to remember melodies and lyrics and to be able to pick the banjo at 165, beats per minute or whatever. They're working hard, so they all need the credit.
They are. I love looking at the titles. Fast Picks, Hot Licks, Eminem Blues, the Paul Mall Reds. I thought that was an interesting song that Gina did for this. And I'm thinking, I guess this FCC has weird rules. It doesn't really apply to me that much. But even in a historical setting, they won't let you mention tobacco. I used to work at a radio station, and they... Someone had a show of old-time shows, like an old-time vaudeville, and they would mention the sponsor would be blah, 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 whatever, tobacco, and they got fined for it. It's a weird, it's an odd thing, but I remember Paul Mall Reds and what that meant. And you have Laura Orshaw on here. And,
oh, she's you know, the solitary diamond. She is so great. She's such a great singer.
She's so dynamic. She's just a burst of energy.
She really is. She's just, you know, all the way.
Let's see what else. Oh, we were talking a little bit. I'm going to have you introduce a song in a minute, but I really enjoyed this riding around on Saturday night, which you mentioned Lizzie even joined in, and she'd gotten her start with some music learning from your mother. But that song just cracks me up. Maybe that's what it's supposed to be, but it's kind of like it's almost like some Charlie Daniels thing where he's riding across the country and the story just gets told about riding around on a night. That's funny.
That's so funny that you mentioned Charlie Daniels, because, you know, when I was thinking about, well, you know, who's going to, you know, carry the lion's share, the lioness's share of the banjo on this album? So many different banjo pickers that I love. And my sister, you know, she's doesn't have a lot of free time. And so when I was in kind of pre-production, figuring out who's going to do what and play what where, I was thinking she wasn't going to be able to play on the album. And so I was thinking, well, who is going to be able to really, you know, hold this down? And then I called up. I was like, Lizzie Long, perfect. Mm-hmm. She's from Northeast Georgia. She's from Lincolnton, Georgia.
Oh.
Mom's from Northeast Georgia.
Yeah.
And, you know, she picks, you know, strong, and there's like a little Roy connection.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot at the time that she got her start with Mom. So when I was talking to her, she's like, yeah, I'll do it.
Oh, that's great.
You know, Lincolnton accent. And then I was thinking, yeah, Riding Around on Saturday Night, which is kind of like a song Mom wrote about her high school days, and she's had the perfect accent.
Oh, God,
know?
Yeah. It's
for an order of Cokes and French fries.
Yeah, that's right. You got it. That cracked me up, but all this great. Isn't it neat when you reach out to Lizzie and turns out that she, maybe you didn't know or maybe you knew and just wasn't that front in your mind, but you learned that she learned from your mother's instructions. And that must be a really neat thing.
That was a magical moment. It really was, and just felt like the resonance of the universe is with me. And you know, there were so many, you know, logistical things with the production, but I felt like the wind was at my back the whole way, you know, till the very end. And yeah, that was a significant moment. Being like, okay, you know, I was thinking who's going to be the perfect person to play. And I've always really loved Lizzie's banjo playing. It's just so strong. And then you know, the first 5 minutes, like, oh yeah, you learn from Mom. It's perfect.
And her voice, Lizzie's voice is almost, you know, she's been on the show a couple times, and you listen and listen and listen, and she almost has, not that she would sing, well, she could, she almost has an operatic range at some point. You don't realize how high and the wide range she sings in, and it's so powerful. She's not having to hold anything back. She can hit the highest note as loud as she wants to.
She is unstoppable from the, you know, the high notes to the banjo, to the auto harp, to the... Yeah. Fiddle, to keeping up with Little Roy. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's a rare talent.
It is. I'm to the listeners again, I'm talking to Chris Henry, and we're having a good time, not only talking about the new album when my mama sang to me songs of Murphy Hicks Henry, but Chris has so many connections that I like to hear about. So we've been kind of diverting a little bit and talking about all these other things, which are just magical moments. But I want you, Chris, to introduce them, the title song, which is the last cut on the album. But I want you to lead into an introduction. I will play that for the audience, but I want you to introduce When My Mama Sang to Me, which is the 23rd of 23 cuts on the album.
This is a real special song to me. It's one that we played in our family band. Mom wrote it when she was missing her mom. And in the song, the mother of the person singing passes away. And so she'd written it while her mom, my grandmother, was still alive. But it just talks about, you know, her happy home up in the mountains and growing up and all that kind of stuff, and baby on the knee, and then things changing, seasons changing, and then you know, her mom dying in the song. But going back to the happiest memories of all was when my mama sang to me, and this is my...
It's Nancy Pate. I'm sorry, I jumped down. It's Nancy Pate. Explain who's singing the song.
Yeah, so Mom has four younger sisters. There's Murphy, Claire, Arjun, Nancy, and Laurie. And Arjun, Nancy, and Laurie all played in the Red and Murphy and Company Bluegrass Band. So Nancy is the second youngest sister and is a wonderful singer and songwriter. And she was just the perfect person to sing the title cut when my mama sang to me.
We'll play that. I'll be right back to talk to Chris Henry some more about this. It's just a fun album. I'm so glad you did this. I think you are too. Let's play When My Mama Sang to Me, and I'll be right back in a minute.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, that was the title cut of your new album. Is the label then, you had mentioned the label that your parents recorded on, is that the same label I'm looking at here, Eric? Let's pronounce that for me again.
It looks like Arandum, but it's R&M, which is like, you know, just the R for red and the M for Murphy, R&M.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Trying to pick it out.
Okay.
You know, the R&M was already taken, so they just kind of spelled it out.
I got you. So is that so I've got the album because you were nice enough to send it to me. So where is there a website where people can find this great album, maybe some other things too? Where would you point them to find this album that we're talking about?
Absolutely. If you're looking for a physical copy of the CD, you can go to murphymethod.com, but it's on iTunes and Spotify and Pandora and all the favorite streaming platforms.
Good, good. Glad to hear it. Are you, you know, I mentioned to this a little bit off the air, your father sent me, and you mentioned the name of it, but a really nice kind of a long I had it on the SoundCloud, and I never had it to where I could play it, or I would have, because I'm happy to play music that doesn't fit definitions. That's why it's Unreal Bluegrass, in case people haven't figured it out. I like to go beyond that. But you did a really neat thing that Red sent me on a SoundCloud that I could listen to for a while. Tell me a little bit about what that was, and I want to get back to this album, but I was intrigued by that. I want you to explain that.
I would love to. I'm just so tickled that he sent that to you. So I started going down to the Amazon, to Peru, in 2015 to study plant medicine down there. And they have a very mind-blowingly rich ancient tradition of working with the plants down there. For how the healing works in ceremony is through song. And so a lot of the melodies that are in this program, which is called Chant, and if folks want to find it, they can just go onto YouTube and put in Christopher Henry, and it'll come right up.
Okay.
So it's kind of a mix between like Appalachian and bluegrass-style instruments and Peruvian medicine music.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, that's I didn't know that, but it makes perfect sense. And by the way, you do give thanks to plant spirit doctors. On the back of the album, as you acknowledge everything and everybody on this, and you mentioned your trip to the Amazon, I thought, that's why you put that in there, the plant spirit doctors for all their help.
Yeah, getting a lot of help from a lot of beautiful beings and places.
Let me ask you this: are there any plans? This is a big project. I was surprised it didn't take as long as I thought. I think is it because of the method, not the Murphy method, but I mean the way that we can do things now over the internet and record things and mix them together. Is it?
Absolutely.
I would have thought this would have taken a whole lot longer. Of course, you had the music there, but I'm always amazed that things happen quickly.
You can reach out to someone like Laura Orshaw, be like, "Hey, Laura, can you play on these four songs?" And she was, I'll send her the files. We'll send them right back. Be like, "Hey, can you sing on this song?" She'll send really quick. Out to Nashville and down to where my aunts live and a few different places to record remotely. But absolutely, the technology these days is just such that you're kind of only limited by your imagination sometimes.
I think I'm talking to Chris Henry, if you're just tuning into Unreal Bluegrass, and we're having fun talking about a lot of things. Mainly we wanted to focus on his new album, a collection of music, When My Mama Sang to Me, the songs of Murphy Hicks Henry. It's just loaded with great talent and great songs. But do you think, of course, that technology existed before COVID? There were files being traded, and you can record and send stuff down. But I almost feel like that COVID made us get better at doing that, because we really couldn't get together. So everybody started looking at their tools, their Pro Tools, whatever, recording, and figured out what these little things mean and how they can use them. And I think things have just gotten a lot better after that.
Absolutely. People have had the time to kind of like, I was kind of putting off learning how to do my own recording. And Jason Carter was someone that, I believe got started during COVID. And, that kind of necessity, if you couldn't go to somebody's studio, but you could do it yourself, might have given a lot of people the inclination to be like, okay, I'm gonna figure this out. And, so many bizarre silver linings of the whole COVID pandemic, and that was definitely one of them. People, connecting more virtually and then connecting more with the recording. So many, cross-continent collaborations.
Anywhere.
And I've seen some really cool videos of like 20 people playing from around the world. This is very similar to that. You know, one of the women, Laura Karavik, was playing the dobro on the album. She was in, you know, England. So she was easily able to sit down and record like, you know, 8 or 10 songs over the weekend, send them back to me. And I was just, you know, loved sifting through them to, you know, find the best bits and pieces and all that.
I think I wouldn't say we had many benefits at all from that whole time, but I do think an unintended benefit has been that we've all become a little bit technologically smarter. The people that aren't so young that it's natural to them, but like me, and maybe not so much you seem to have more savvy about it than I do, but it seems like we've all had to kind of up our skill set a little bit, and it pays off, I think. You know, remember when it all started, there were people who were, how do we do a concert? What are we going to do a concert? Can we do one on Facebook? Can we do... And at first, they were really rough at first because nobody knew what they were doing.
Right.
And sometimes they would turn sideways in it. But as they kept doing it, that for not much money, for really not much effort, just more learning, they became really good quality home concerts. And you could actually watch them, and the technology didn't get in your way of enjoying the music. I think all of a sudden we kind of had to figure it out and did.
Absolutely, yeah. And people learn a little bit more about lighting and microphones.
That's right, that's right.
And all that kind of stuff.
That's right.
Yeah, I started doing, during COVID, it was a weekly Monroe Mandolin Zoom workshop with David McLaughlin. And then now, you know, 3 years later, we're still at it. We've done 100 of them.
Wow.
And if it hadn't been, you know, for the COVID, we're doing about once a month now, but for a long time, we were doing them once a week. And, you know, people getting to know how to do the Zoom. Absolutely. People of all ages.
And the thing is, you know, I'm a pedestrian banjo player, had a band years ago, but for people like you and you need to get that, you need to perform. I think you need to do that. You can't just be that you're going to wait it out and record, and you don't get the immediate feedback from a YouTube or a Zoom or something like that. But it does get you performing, which is what you know, all this normally leads to. So I think it's a great way. People got more comfortable doing it. I was just amazed at how quickly things. I can tell you my work is in the courtroom. I can tell you how quickly things got straightened out there. At first we were horrible at it. We couldn't even find people, and then we started doing more and more things on Zoom and online and everything, but that has nothing to do with what we're talking about except for the technology advance. I want you to, there's so many great songs in here, Chris. We could spend so much time and break down all the great artists that you have on here. I want you to introduce one more, then I'll let you go because I know you're very busy.
You bet.
I think we want to do Hazel Creek, which we had Gina Furtado. We were talking a little bit about her and her family, maybe off the air a little bit, but I want you to introduce Hazel Creek, and I'll let you go and get back to your busy life, and tell me about why you picked that song and what a fine, fine job Gina does singing and playing on it.
Well, I appreciate you thinking of me to have this time to share with you here. So Hazel Creek is a creek near Habersham County, maybe in Habersham County where Mom grew up, and it was the title song to the Murphy Method banjo instruction audio cassettes, and then VHS and DVD, and now streaming. And it was a song that Gina Furtado, who's been nominated a couple of times for Banjo Player of the Year from IVMA, wanted to learn when she was just first starting to pick, because it's a really cool tune. It kind of starts out slow and it gets going real fast, and it has these great walk downs. And so she learned it when she was probably a teenager, and she did a fantastic job of playing it on the album. When I gave the album to my mom, you know, we were playing this place called B Chord in near Winchester, Virginia, and we had a family band. It was my mom, my dad, me, and Marshall Wilburn. And so before we got on stage, I had coordinated with Marty, the fellow, the owner there, to play it over the speakers. And so she's hearing Rhonda Vincent, like, you know, sing one of her songs, and she, like, you know, she walks over. She's like, "What is this?" Oh. You know. And, like, it was a great, great, beautiful moment. There's actually a whole long journey of a video on YouTube about the making of this album.
Oh, good, good. Well, I was going to ask you, that's great. So that leads me to this. Was there kind of a reveal? I mean, once it was all done and everybody was keeping their silent, the sisters were quiet, was there kind of a reveal? Was it a party thing, or how did that come about?
Yeah. It was at that B chord. Already started playing the, you know, "I Ain't Domesticated Yet." She comes up to me, she said, "What's going on? Is that Marty singing the song?" And I said, "I don't know." So we went over to the sound booth, and Marty hands her the CD, and this is all, we got it on video.
It's on video, too. I have to see that. That is so cool. So, and amazingly, that that no one told her what was going on. All the people you were involved with, they, at least if they didn't keep it a secret, she kept it a secret that it wasn't a secret.
Yeah, there was a couple little close calls. One when I was like corresponding with my sister through text, and my mom picked up my sister's phone, and but it like you know didn't she didn't like look at the whatever it was about the album. That was a close call. Then we that weekend after that gig, we listened to it before I came back to Charlotte, and of all the songs that we listened to, this one Hazel Creek that Gina is playing, this is the one that she wanted to rewind it just a little bit to listen to something really cool that Gina had done, just a slight bit different than she did. It's a little string bend where she puts a little like you know bend in the string, and that's what Mom wanted to rewind to listen to. So
it's a labor of love, obviously. When my mom was saying to me, I thought he had a lot of fun doing it, and I appreciate your filling in some so much information inside of it. There's great music. And inside, there's as much information as you're going to find in any CD that's out there. Every little spot is filled in with information. It's all important. So I'm so glad you had a chance to talk. I'm going to now cut to Hazel Creek. I'll say goodbye to you. And for the audience, I'll play Hazel Creek. And I'll say goodbye to you, Chris. Thanks so much for spending some time with Unreal Bluegrass. And let me know of anything else you're working on in the future, and we'll connect again.
We'll love that. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. See you. Bye.
Bye.